This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, March 16th, 2009. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, going hatless in heavy economic weather. In October of 2005, long before the recession was even a twinkle in Alan Greenspan's eye, a peculiar little poem appeared in Poetry Magazine. It was written by John Surowiecki, and it was called The Hat City After Men Stopped Wearing Hats. The poem mentions a presidential inauguration. It also mentions a poet reading at the inauguration. It talks about wars, environmental degradation, and unemployment. In other words, it seemed as if it had been written last week instead of 3.5 years ago. You'll see what I mean when you hear it. The reader is Michael Stuhlbarg.
The Hat City After Men Stopped Wearing Hats by John Surowiecki. At the inauguration, no one wore hats, not even the poet whose hair the wind shaped into a fin. We sat at the kitchen table trying to figure out how we would make a living now that the river no longer flowed carrot orange to the sound. We used to tell the children that its fish wore fedoras and suffered from mercury shakes, twitching, lurching, losing scales as we would hair. Every street used to be a river of hats, and when a war was won, a sea of hats would suddenly appear. Every day we'd walk to work, leaning into the wind, hands on our hats, and never once did we think the factory doors would close, and never once did we notice the frost laid on the lawns, like an interlude in a slaughtering of moths.
Hello?
Hi, is this John Surowiecki?
Yes.
Hi, this is Curtis Fox from Poetry Off the Shelf.
Hey, Curtis, how you doing?
Good. We just got through listening to your poem, The Hat City After Men Stopped Wearing Hats.
Yes.
It was read by an actor, Michael Stuhlbarg. And I wanted to ask you a few questions about it. You got a second?
Sure.
First, we know that it was published in Poetry in 2005, but when did you actually write it?
I wrote it in 2004, and I sent it right off to Poetry Magazine, and it's a quick acceptance, which is very rare in any poet's life.
So 2004, but I'm guessing that you were thinking of John F. Kennedy's inauguration in 1961, because Kennedy, he was one of the first, he's part of the generation that stopped wearing hats, basically, right?
Yes.
You, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
That you will faithfully execute the office.
I, Barack Hussein Obama, do solemnly swear.
It seems oddly resonant with this year, with the inauguration of Barack Obama. Has that occurred to you since the inauguration?
Well, it does. And not only that, I think. The poem is about workers in Danbury, Connecticut, who, because of hats going out of fashion, lost their jobs and livelihood. And I think, you know, today it's very similar.
So it's literal. I didn't know that. I thought you were, the hat thing was a total metaphor.
That's right. There were over 50 factories in Danbury that made manufactured hats. It was truly the hat city of the world.
And then what happened when people stopped wearing hats?
They all went out of business, pretty much.
At the inauguration, no one wore hats, not even the poet whose hair the wind shaped into a fin.
And that poet would be Robert Frost, right?
That's right, Robert Frost.
We sat at the kitchen table trying to figure out how we would make a living now that the river no longer flowed carrot orange to the sound.
Now, I was puzzled by this image. A carrot orange river sounds like it's an extremely polluted river.
Exactly right. And it's the Still River, STILL, in Danbury. And actually, there's a little pun there, because the process of taking hair from a pelt when you're making a felt hat is called carroting. And it's because it's you have a nitrate of mercury solution, which is a brilliant orange color. And that would go into the river, Still River, which would flow to the sound.
We used to tell the children that its fish wore fedoras and suffered from mercury shakes, twitching, lurching, losing scales as we would hair.
The worker is telling his children that he's making a little story.
Right.
But it's the people, it's the workers who actually did the shaking. It's called mercury shakes, or it was often called the Danbury shakes. And it's a mercury poisoning. like the Mad Hatter in Lewis Carroll. It affected the brain and gave the worker tremors, and they lost hair. So this worker, in telling this story to the children, say that the fish lose their scales, when in reality it's the workers like he who lose their hair.
Every street used to be a river of hats. And when a war was won, a sea of hats would suddenly appear. Every day we'd walk to work, leaning into the wind, hands on our hats, and never once did we think the factory doors would close, and never once did we notice the frost laid on the lawns, like an interlude in a slaughtering of moths.
That's a mysterious last image, like an interlude of a slaughtering of moths. But what it suggests to me is that the situation that a lot of people have these days is a total feeling of powerlessness when these vast economic forces are destroying their lives. Is that what you're trying to get at there?
Yes, half of it anyway. And, you know, when it, in a winter day or even a March day like today, when you look at a lawn, you know, it's cold, you see these little white, just on the fringes of the grass. And it does look like, when you use your imagination a bit, like moths are the corpses of moths. And I guess I chose moths because it's not a Holocaust image. It's not a horrible image. I mean, they're moths.
Yeah, so you're not overstating your poem.
That's right.
It's a little bit more muted.
Yes, because they lost their jobs, these workers, but they didn't lose their lives.
John Surowiecki, thanks so much.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
John Surowiecki's book is called The Hat City After Men Stopped Wearing Hats, published by WordWorks Press. That book won the 2006 Washington Prize. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.